Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Yes, thank you to the GOAT, and welcome to Quarters and Barra. I am Glenn Quatermain, Chief Sports Writer for the West Australian. With me is a very up and about Adrian Barrage, West Coast Eagles, Perth Football Club and Channel 7 guru. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Before we unpick the round, let's talk a bit about your weekend, Barra, which we'll just introduce a little bit of music there.
There we go.
Warm the cockles of your heart, Barra.
From the playing fields of Mineral Resources Park it is now. Actually, we had to take the reference to men out in there too as well, because we've got female teams now. But yeah, it was a big day for the club.
Big win over Subi, but there was some real sadness attached to the game.
To be honest, it was one of the great days in the club's, probably in the club's history, since I've been there in 1984. We haven't beaten Subiaco in 8 years, okay, and we won all three grades as well, which is just extraordinary. And then our women's won the next day, won as well the next day, our Rogers Cup. So it was all round a phenomenal day. But what was really powerful, and our Quarters was so emotional, and like I've been through with Rhett Baines and Chris Stasinowski, so I have been a few times in these scenarios. But obviously we lost our ruckman Dakota Baldwin-Wright around Christmas time in Prague, okay. It was a train accident or a tram accident over there, and his family ever since have been just so bereft and so, just destroyed by what happened to their beautiful son. He was so well loved, so respected at the club. So it was a massive build up for us. We've had counselling, we've had the actual tribute ceremony / funeral at the club in the lead up to the game, the months before. And then on the day, we had the minute silence out in the ground with the family. We had the black armbands in the jumper, in the 125-year jumper. There was his name and number in the collar. And we've retired his jumper indefinitely, number 19. Family upstairs in the president's luncheon presented with his jumper. They spoke, and your heart was breaking when you could just see Rita, his mum, Rita Baldwin, just how profoundly affected she was. And Greg, who's a farmer who runs the track up there in Moora, he's the racetrack guy. Greg Wright, he just can hardly speak still about it. So it was just massive, and I was so glad that we actually were able to just show how much we loved the guy and what he meant to us, but also that we won. And, I went down there at three-quarter time to see the boys. We were sort of just behind Subi, and I looked into their eyes, and I looked in Jacob Cornelio's eyes, Stephen's brother, who was just about best on ground, and I just saw, he is so steely, he was. He ain't going to drop this. He's thinking about Dakota. Charlie Constable was brilliant. He never even met the bloke, but he realised how profound it was for the rest of the team. Connor Singh, his best friend who he lived with, sensational. Corey Byrne just dug deep. He was crying after the match because the parents came into the room after the game.
I saw that for the song.
Oh, in the team song. He joined us in the team song, and then his number 19 jumper, I don't know where it came from, was put into the middle of the circle, and they sang the song around the jumper. Man, I'm getting emotional just talking about it because it's to see how touched his mum was, and that maybe, just maybe, those parents got some solace for a moment or some freedom or some little happiness in their world, because everything's been so dark since they lost their son. They just absolutely devastated. And then we took the mum into the change room. She wanted to see Dakota's locker as well. And, man, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. So well done to the Demons and everybody involved, the fact that they were able to dig deep, and the players especially. Like, you know what it's like. Sometimes you can overcook it and you get too fired up and it actually backfires. Somehow they handled it and just, they were not, the smothers in the last quarter, the, you know, the competitive ball was incredible. Just there's no way they were going to
drop. So number 19, you actually had a 19th man on the field, no doubt.
Exactly. Actually, that's very true, my friend.
And dare I say it, former runner of the Perth Footy Club, who is also a friend of Dakota's, and my great mate Simon Jenkins, who's now up there in heaven with Dakota. Jenksy would have loved the occasion as well.
Oh, mate, you're making me cry. Yeah. Seriously, it was so profound. I reckon it was the most powerful emotional thing I've ever been associated with at the Perth Footy Club. And, you know, I've been there since 1984. So,
well done.
Let's just say we can roll on.
To the Perth Footy Club, and congratulations on the win, and sets you up, you know, it's round one, but sets you up for the season ahead.
We're coming, there's no doubt. You know, why not us? Why not us? We haven't won since 77, and, you know, it's the train has left the station, but it was just so good to see these people just get some happiness in their life, Rita and Greg, and... you know, they're wonderful people, and we'll just keep supporting them now and everybody else that's been affected.
Good on you. Now, AFL round three had a bit of everything, Barra, and right at the end, my boys against Geelong just couldn't get the job done, but a bit of lightning.
Yeah, that was bizarre, wasn't it? I noticed they held the news back in Melbourne because it went beyond 6 o'clock over there, of course, and... that was bizarre. So 20 minutes, you have to have minimum 20-minute break. So it ended up being 40 minutes.
43 or something,
And the actual margin was exactly what the margin was when they went off.
So if you strip the first quarterback, it's a pretty even game.
There was a lot of things to come out of that game. Do you want to talk about that now?
Well, let's talk about that in a little while. We'll just pick the games apart, but let's talk about the round itself. It's about West Coast. So
you want to go to West Coast first?
What a bizarre old game if you're talking statistically. Matched them for inside 50s, 51 apiece. So had plenty of opportunity to score. Almost got them on contested possession, beat them at clearances, but got smashed on the outside. And it was almost like a game, it was like on repeat, like Eagles win the clearance, Bulldogs force a turnover and have a chain of uncontested possessions back the other way. And every time West Coast, that mid-forward connection, I've got to say it, Barra, it's amateur hour. They just cannot... Yeah. That mid-forward, that's where it all stops for the Eagles. So
stat you just mentioned, inside, they had, was it 51 inside 50s? And they kicked three goals.
Yep.
It's like...
And like last week, there was a goal, a big drought between goals first, last quarter. So,
so there were encouraging signs in those stats that you said, but it was a bad loss again. And I was going to ask you, if you're Adam Simpson... Where to? In fact, could you get Danielle Laidley to write a column about this?
I'll ask the sports editor.
If she was Adam Simpson, what would she do? Because she's been in that situation. She knows him well. I suppose it's a bit sensitive because it might look like she's trying to get his job. But I'd love to know what if she was Adam Simpson, what she would do. People are throwing things at him like, move McGovern. Malthouse came out in your paper and said, move McGovern forward, send somebody else back. You know, Jack Darling back.
So they did a good job in terms of McGovern trying to isolate him, because that's what you try and do. You isolate him, a bit like Luke Ryan at Fremantle, so he can intercept. But the Dogs just... played the ball around him beautifully second quarter.
They smashed him. Tim English was unbelievable.
Well, I thought that Bailey in the hitouts and as clearances would show, did a pretty good job in the ruck, but he got smashed around the ground. And Tim English, it was like, because he was a midfielder as a kid, right? Before he had a big growth spurt. But when he got on the end of that chain of handballs, it was amazing stuff. So,
do the Eagles throw everything at Tim English now?
Oh, you would hope so.
He's free agent, so
well,
they can.
Well, they've got Matt Flynn, though. See, they have a ruckman. I would throw everything I can at Tim English, absolutely, because he's more than – he gives you a fair bit around the ground as well as just at the stoppage.
I'm trying to work my work, because obviously that's the thing they're going through now. Do we go after Tim English? He's a bit older now, isn't he?
They need another forward.
Yeah, well, maybe that releases – Bailey Williams to be that forward. He's supposed to be a forward / ruckman. But the thing about Tim English is by the time they're in premiership mode, he might be finished. So should they be going for someone younger?
When is premiership mode with this team?
Pardon?
When is premiership?
We're talking 4 or 5 years for sure.
Easily.
Yeah, so...
Well, I think it's beyond that.
And Barra. Tim may not want to wait around for that. But if the Eagles offer him everything, because they've got plenty of space, Nat Nui's gone. You're going to redo Jack Darling's deal if he stays. Gaff probably goes off. There's going to be Tim Kelly's probably going to get a cut.
Well, there's actually a very good email which names a bit. So we'll get into that later. Just with the West Coast, there's a lot of talk now about a priority pick, which we've discussed on this podcast before. But do they deserve a priority pick, given if you look at the Tim Kelly deal, where they've coughed up a couple of first rounders, you know, they're very well cashed up in terms of reserves. Do they deserve a priority pick?
Well, when you compare them with North Melbourne, who've clearly got a better list, haven't they, than West Coast, and they've just picked up a few more priority picks. The objective measure for priority picks used to be you had to win fewer than five games two seasons in a row. And the Eagles have won five in 52 games.
Yep. So they qualify on that count.
So really, it's only pride and the Victorians going, get lost. They won the premiership in 2018. And get lost. They got 60 mil in the bank. We're not going to give them priority picks.
Yeah, but that doesn't buy you.
Does that come into it or not?
No. I don't think it does.
And will the Eagles put their hand out? Would Don Pike, because Nisbet wouldn't. He was too proud. Not too proud, but he just said, we're not going to ask for a handout. We're not going to be Oliver Twist. Can I have some more?
Well, they need to be Oliver Twist.
Do you reckon they should
do it? Absolutely. I think
it is embarrassing. Deeply embarrassing.
Because I'll be contradicting myself. I don't believe in priority picks. I don't believe you should get them. I believe the draft mechanism is there for that. However, it does exist, the priority system. So if North Melbourne got, and let's be honest, Mackay, that was just a number picked out of a hat to help them out. Yes, they deserve a priority pick and they should put their hand up.
Even
why
if they've
you?
Just won the flag in 2018.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah, but it's you
why
just said.
I'll tell you why they wouldn't
the
put their hand up.
The criteria suggests they can.
It's deeply embarrassing and you lose your stature as one of the great clubs when you have to go cap in hand. And the Victorians would love it. And we're always whinging about the AFL's not giving us a fair go and making us go to Geelong and the travel and the schedule and not enough home games. And then we go, but can we have a priority pick as well, please? Like it is. It's a big decision. I mean, I don't think it is.
I think if it's there, you go for it.
Yeah, well, it is the best thing for the club, but it changes the dynamics.
By the way, the AFL has looked after them. This week, on the back of their Zip 3 start to the year, they're playing Sydney, who inflicted their club record loss last year at the SCG. At least they're playing them in Adelaide. They don't have to go to the SCG.
In Mount Barker. They're playing them in the bush in WA, but it's Mount Barker.
We've got an email about that too, so we'll get to that.
Before you go on, I was very, very happy to see our good friend Mark Duffield mentioned on the Fox coverage.
He was.
And so Jared Healy said, there's pushing in the West is Mark Duffield for a priority pick. He's had a close look at it and he believes they should get a priority pick. So we've got Duff on our side as well.
Good friend of this program, Duff. If you're listening, hi, g'day out there, mate. The other one, Barra, is it real? Flag mantle.
Not yet. Not till they beat somebody. Yeah, they've got it the next two weeks.
Got a chance this week.
If they beat Carlton.
Adelaide.
I'll start to believe they beat Carlton.
Sorry, you know Carlton is Zip 7 at Adelaide Oval, Barra?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mate, you know the Dockers have never won back-to-back six-day games? Never. 17 times they've had a crack at it where they've had two.
They won last week.
Two. Yeah, but that's what I'm just saying to you.
Okay, sorry, gotcha, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, mate. I've just done it. So it is a special year. They've never been able to back up 6 days.
Well, it's their best start since 2015, and it's Carlton's best start since Wenbarra.
Oh, no idea.
1995. What happened in 1995?
They won the flag in 95.
This is their last premiership. So
that's when the Dockers started.
Yeah.
So both clubs haven't won a flag since 95. So, but I tell you what, if they beat Carlton, I'm a believer. What's that song? I'm a believer. Ba-ba-da-da-da. I'm going to be like that for sure.
Was that the Monkees?
Hey, hey, we're the Monkees.
That's it. Now, what I like about Freo is they've still got to get these starts right, Barra. And even at the weekend, I think they were minus 20 possessions after 20 minutes. So they are coming out a bit sluggish out from the gates. So they don't want to do that against Carlton this week. However, you got to admire the way they claw their way back into games. And I'll tell you what, right now I've got three of their defenders in all Australian calculations. I've got Alex Pearce.
Oh.
As the fullback in the All-Australian team. I know it's only early, but we can talk about it. I've got Luke Ryan in All-Australian calculations. And I tell you what, I've got Jordan Clark in All-Australian calculations.
Yeah, Barrett. I like that. Russell, our CEO at Perth, he'd be bloody pumped about that. But I think you're right, mate. And I tell you what, Josh Draper. Yep. You know what's happened? So what happened at Perth was we lost, I don't want to always introduce Perth, but Jack Avery, our best centre-half back, broke his foot against Peel.
Yeah. Out for 8 to 10, I believe.
Beg your pardon?
About 8, 10 weeks, he's
yeah,
out.
Yeah, and Noble crushed it or something accidentally. But anyway, so we brought in this kid, Elijah Scoble. He's 19 or 20, maybe 19, who's on the AFL radar, missed out on getting drafted last year. And we're thinking, whoa, that's a big call. He's come in and done the job. And Josh Draper has done the same. Josh Draper played on Taylor Walker, you know.
Well, for little bits, not for the whole game.
Yeah, but, oh, sorry, mate. You want him to play 100 minutes on him?
He's Alex bloody Pierce
come
was
from,
on Taylor
he's
Walker.
Come from Nowheresville.
Oh, yeah.
From the Peel, and mate, he's a star.
You know what he? No,
197. He's going to be. They've uncovered one there.
Yeah.
They've no Brendan Cox, and no Chapman, and no McDonald, and no worries. It's what you said is remarkable.
NGA player, a good Trinity College boy, and also what I like about Josh Draper in his couple of games he's played. He's got time and space.
Mate,
he's one of those players who looks like he's very composed for someone with so few games under his belt.
So this is the question I ask you, is that Perth can do it. We can bring up a young kid and can surprise everyone. The Fremantle can do it, Josh Draper. But West Coast can't do it. Why can't the West Coast kids come in? Why can't Jack Williams come in and go bang?
Mm.
Or Harry Barnett last week, bang.
Well, you've got
there's no impact. Even Harley's sort of spasmodic.
Well, the forwards, I would suggest the delivery in there is pretty poor. I mean,
Harley's not a forward. Well, he was. He does play forward a lot, but you know, like
he's only
Noah Long. Maybe those. Maybe it is just they're all broken, and the Crows might be broken.
But it is a very good question, and I mean, you would have to look at the West Coast system and development.
And that's is Simo a development coach? I guess you got to say, because he's used to just getting the boys in and coaching up to a premiership.
That's
he's
right.
not used to bringing them through. Even Ross Lyon could bring them through. Mick Malthouse was brilliant. He brought Jakovic and McIntosh and all those guys through.
It was
through.
A different era back then, though, and you just sort of tended. Well, Jakovic was what? He was in the WA State 18s, WA State team in the same year, and I think he played AFL in the same year. As a schoolboy.
But Mick did bring him through. I mean, Mitchell White, you could just throw him up. Now, the Crows, I wanted to ask you, are they broken? Last year, they were the best scoring team in the league. And they just, vanilla was such a great team.
Interesting,
they just looked horrible.
I asked Justin Longmuir after the game about the game, because it was a pretty ugly game, let's be honest. And Justin wasn't too worried about it. He said, we wanted to make this an arm wrestle because of that reason. Because when a team kicks 100 points, you know, they're going to win. But the Crows were the most offensive team last year. So if they could turn it into an arm wrestle, he thought we're going to get this on our terms. And that's what they did. So I think they're in a lot of trouble.
Where's it gone? What's happened? And have they done the right thing signing Nicks?
Well,
where are they going to be feeling mid-year?
I don't know about that. Well, you could say the same thing. Longmuir was signed on the eve of the season, wasn't
he? Mate, in the middle of the year,
right.
I'll tell you what the Fremantle is going to be doing. They're going to be going, how good was that decision? Check this out. We're flying.
But you can't really. I don't think it makes much bearing, to be honest. Do you?
Well, they're stuck with him.
No, the fact that you re-sign a bloke at the start of the year.
I'm not saying it had any effect. I'm saying, was it a good decision?
Oh, let's wait until round 23,
that's what I just said to you, mate. In mid-year, what are they going to say?
It's not looking good now, no. But they've got a few deficiencies. They've got a few deficiencies in the back half.
Are they missing anyone? Is there someone that we're thinking that can come back?
No, not really.
Miller has just done his knee.
Yeah, he's out for the year, so that's a shame. I thought their back six sort of did okay, to be honest, because at times there it was a bit of a flood coming forward. But
if the Dockers kicked straight, they would have spifflicated them, though. I think they kicked 15 behinds.
No, it was a pretty impressive effort. So we're talking about West Coast a moment ago. And, look, I should introduce the game, tipping comp. Keep entering your tips. We'll organise a prize for the overall winner at the end of the year. The Quarters and Barra comp weekly winner was Terry Southon with 6 correct and a margin of 3 well under Terry. And the Quarters and Barra comp overall leader is Daniel Urban with 22, a total of 56 margin in total. We both got 4. My very, very poor start to the season continues. However, Barra, I'll tell you what I'm not too disappointed about is my tip of Melbourne to be a contender.
Yeah, they have
looking okay.
They have bounced back. A lot of people are getting on them now. And
pretty good win over Port in Adelaide.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'm getting a bit tired of the Melbourne people getting on board them now and trying to get around them. I suppose you do that. They've had one good win. They beat Port Adelaide. And now everyone's saying, oh, the culture must be great, you know. What are people talking about? It's a beat-up. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. You can't wipe that drug stuff just like that. You know what I mean? You just can't just go, that doesn't exist. You know what I mean? That's what happens.
I don't think it's just Melbourne who's been tainted with that.
No, but we're talking about Melbourne, right? Yeah. And the fact that people are getting behind them and saying that their culture's good. I heard one of the commentators crapping on about how great it was and what a great club. I'm going, please, mate, they're still in court against their former president.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, like, there could be more to come. What are you talking about?
Simon Goodwin, the coach, was talking about it galvanising the group, and you can't argue against that, Barra. I mean, it clearly has, because they're playing as a pretty tight unit, led really well by Max Gawn, who started the year very well, albeit one game, their opening game against Sydney, when he lowered his colours to Brodie Grundy. But since that point, Barra has shown great leadership, and as long as he's there leading the team, I think they're top four.
And they had a freakish day too. They kicked 15-6.
And
Port Adelaide kicked 13-11.
Yeah.
So I guess who had more shots at goal?
Yeah.
So let's not get...
But what cost Melbourne in last year's final series?
Missing goals.
That's
inefficiency
right.
in their forward line.
That's right.
But Neil Bullen, Brown, Gawn, Windsor, Fritsch, they're not going to do that every week.
But with Brown in that forward line, I just think they look a completely different team, because he straightens them up, and you've got those other players around him, Van Rooyen and Fritsch, who come into the game. So you've got to keep Ben Brown in that forward line, in my opinion.
So, mate, I would say, I agree with you there, but I would say that the Power probably deserved to win that game. They dominated the inside 50s. They had more shots at goal. They just left the door open, and Melbourne snuck through. So I'm not sure about Melbourne, mate.
Okay.
Can tell I'm not fully on board with them.
Fair game
sure.
from Willem Drew, by the way, with 10 clearances there for Port Adelaide. What did you make of the Western Bulldogs? Can you make anything of them, given that they've just beaten up on West Coast?
Oh, it's just easy. They did what they had to do, didn't they? Is that what you mean? Or you got a question mark over them? Where are you going with this, two dogs?
I still have a question mark over the Western Bulldogs.
Yep.
I'm not convinced. You know, it's a very solid performance, but I think there'll be teams that, take the Eagles apart. I mean, they did it. Like, would you be concerned, if you were Luke Beveridge, that the Eagles equalised inside 50s?
Yeah, you would be. I mean, English was great. Treloar had a lot of it. The Bont. Vandermeer, he looks all right, doesn't he? We don't know how good they are. You can't tell anything from that game, can you?
Okay,
really?
So Richmond, we should congratulate the Tigers. First win of the season. Adam Uze, the coach, gets to hear the players sing the yellow and black for the first time. It was a really good win over Sydney. Built was constructed on pressure. Chase down tackles, really frenetic pressure in their inside in their forward 50. Sadly for them, in the final minutes, they lose Tom Lynch and they lose Noah Bolter.
Who's going
real
well.
Liam Baker has been rubbed out for a week, but the reason I bring that up is they've got the Eagles in 2 weeks over here at Optus Stadium. So there'll be no Lynch, there'll be no Bolter. The Eagles going to be a chance?
Chance, huge chance.
I reckon the way they're playing, they're not, but... You've got to give them something.
That's the one that they've got to target. They've just got – and Liam Ryan probably won't be back. Dom Sheed probably – when they get those two back, it's going to be a bit of a change, even though Dom's slow as a wet week. But the next – see, this is this point I was talking about with the young blokes coming through. Why West Coast can't do what every other club's doing. The Tigers brought in Tyler Sonsi, Seth Campbell – Ryan Mansell and Thompson.
His Mansell was good.
Yeah, and Thompson Dow, and they all showed a bit. Like, the blokes that came in for West Coast, why couldn't they be showing a bit? That's what I don't get.
Richmond have been pretty good in all their losses too. I think they've been really competitive. So he's got them up and about, Uze. They just don't really have that killer punch, do they? So they're not going to play finals, but they're going to be really competitive.
And losing the big fellas, Lynchy, he's just come back. And what is it? A hamstring
tear. It's a surgery on a tendon. So, and which Bolter. Is Matt Flynn. That's what he's. So we know how long it takes. So you're not going to see Lynch until the latter stages of the year, if we see him at all.
And the other bloke's got a knee. Yeah. Bolter. He's a brilliant player. Yeah, it's hard being a coach, but this thing about these young blokes, it's just a worry, mate. It's a worry.
What did you make of Essendon, their good win over St Kilda? And what did you make of Nick Martin, just the lazy 44 disposals, which I believe is a record at Bomberland, Barrett?
Mate, I'm just staggered how these blokes get away from us. Seriously. Do we know about Nick Martin in WA?
Yeah, we knew about Nick Martin in WA.
Did we?
But there's a thing called the draft where you can't just take them when you want them.
Oh, mate.
You've got to take them in the order if they're available.
I was going through some of the draft picks that we've done over the journey. When I say we, the West Coast Eagles, and you go, oh, my God. Like, they had Duff's written a brilliant piece for Code, and it's just sums up where things went awry after 2018. Like, at one stage, they took Brander, right, ahead of Oscar Allen and Sam Taylor.
Mm. Sam Taylor would be pretty handy at the moment, wouldn't
he? Hello. And they took, who did they take ahead of Sean Darcy? They took someone else ahead of Sean Darcy as well. They could have had Sean Darcy. Not like they don't need a ruckman. Mm. Well, they could have had Sean Darcy. They took someone else the pick before. Oh, my God.
So what do you make of Essendon, Barrow? They're sitting in ninth position on the ladder. They've been pretty good. Their two wins, obviously St Kilda and one over Hawthorn to open the season. But Martin, Xavier Duursma, who they picked up from Port Adelaide in the off-season. Langford's still getting the job from, kicked another three goals. And Jake Stringer looks up and about early in the year, doesn't he?
Mate, he won the game, didn't he? That guy must be so frustrating if you're a coach.
And did you see, what did you think of Ross Lyon's comments about the players just looking at Steele and saying, well, he'll get the job done. We can just slack off a bit here and it'll all just happen for us. So classic Rossism that was.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. And the Bombers, it was the Essendon edge with a bit of a twist, wasn't it, really? So maybe they're not as bad as we think they are. What do you reckon?
I'll tell you who's all right. St Kilda, so they recruited Riley Bonner from Port Adelaide and always knew he was an elite kick. But did you see his metres gained at the weekend?
Mm.
1,018 metres gained by Riley Bonner at the weekend.
Oh, that's something special.
That's a fair bit of footy that you've moved forward, isn't it?
That is special.
Carlton and North Melbourne. Carlton got the job done again. The 5 goals to Mackay, 5 goals to Curnow. The reason I bring that up is that's Fremantle's opponent this weekend. So we know that Alex Pearce we'll get one of those players. You would suggest he gets Curnow. We know that I would say Draper probably gets Mackay, which will allow them to sort of release Luke Ryan to be that intercept player. But it's a big job ahead. They do look very powerful, Carlton, at the moment. North Melbourne, it's the same names every week. Sheezel, Powell, McKercher among their best players. And look, they've got a lot of youth. It was a 8-9 goal loss in the end, and it's just pretty much the same thing on repeat every week, isn't it? They're competitive for periods.
Their defensive dilemma is still the thing, isn't it? You know, Core and Pink just punching
Pink,
out of
Pink
their
goes
weight
okay.
division.
He goes okay, but he's just like learning on the
like
run.
They're like Tim Zoo fighting that giraffe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that?
That
was
getting
ugly.
Punched down on all the time.
Poor bloke. There's a decent cut in his head.
I'll tell you what, though. He could have probably called for the fight to be called off. There was that much blood in that split.
Well, he couldn't see out of one eye.
He's got a rematch here. Maybe they're setting up for that. Makes it more dramatic. But, mate, their backline is their problem, isn't it? And how is their rebuild going? Like you said, McKercher. What about Zach Fisher, our man? From Perth and from
so
Western Australia.
There's a fair bit made about that. So he's playing against his old team, Carlton, and there was a jumper swap, and there was a bit of criticism of that. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, Kane Corns, he's a funny dude. Who's fighting against him, Nathan Brown?
Well, we're
he?
Talking about it, so he wins. But, you know, I mean...
But isn't there a fight on between Nathan Brown and Kane Corns?
Oh, apparently.
Do you reckon there'll be a lot of people barracking for Nathan Brown and hoping that he's done a lot of training?
Once again, mate, we're talking about it. You know what I mean? They win.
Well, we're talking about it because it's coming up. Yeah. But a lot of people would like to see him punched in the head, I think. But not me. But I think he's a nice fella. But I'll tell you
what. I think he does a great job.
He really wound him up because he said, because he's got this thing for North Melbourne because I think Sonia, their president, gave him a clip once.
Yes, Sonia Hood said
you were wrong, mate, and gave him a clip. So he's always into North.
Yeah.
And he's into him again. He said when the fellow went down, the big fellow went down with his knee, he reckons not enough North blokes went over there to console him and, and tap him on the butt and all that sort of stuff, which can be inexperienced, can't it?
You're talking about Callum Coleman-Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they played that vision of Collingwood when, I don't know who went off on the stretcher, but was it Howe? Might have been Howe broke his leg or something. And every Collingwood player went over there. It was a powerful, powerful statement. And it didn't happen to North. And then he goes,
so what
and
are they
then,
meant to do?
And then at the end of the game, instead of checking on their teammate and all that, there's Zach Fisher with his mate Patrick Cripps swapping jerseys and having photos taken.
That's all right, mate. The siren's gone. The final siren's gone. You can do what you like. During the game, different story, but final siren's gone. I think there's room for that. Don't you think there's room for that in the game still?
I saw Jimby smiling after the Bulldogs game. I still don't get that.
Yeah, I get that. I'm with you.
Like, that is a bit strange. Like, holy crap, you've just been pantsed by the Bulldogs. You just want to sulk and get off, don't you? Maybe the young people nowadays are different, do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, they're different. What about Collingwood and Brisbane? So 20-point win to Collingwood. They were, one of them was going to remain winless for the season, and it is Brisbane. And there's a fair bit over... What do you make of the hoo-ha at Brisbane at the moment, the so-called...
Las Vegas gate.
Mate, nothing good ever happens in Vegas. You know what they say?
No, but what happens
in
Vegas...
There?
Hang on, don't you know the expression?
Stays in Vegas.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, but not when you've got an iCloud linked to your WhatsApp.
And it accidentally slipped out to someone's partner. Is that what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
And it was shared. Yep.
And so they knew exactly what happened in Las Vegas?
This is the cackle. We don't know
allegedly,
this is fact.
And then someone's partner split up with someone, one of the key players, and someone was very unhappy about it. And is that the sort of stuff? That would have started on Big Footy or one of those websites, wouldn't it?
I assume
That's
so.
That's what I believe. Is that the sort of thing you'd run with? Would you go after? Or?
Well, if they're playing the way they're playing, they're a grand final team from last year and they're zipping four. So you've got to look for why. And there definitely is. You can see when the games are there to be won this year, Brisbane.
You reckon that could have something to do with it?
I do, yes.
What?
I think it, don't you reckon that stuff permeates into your
not play? Well, unless the world's changed. What about when Tyson Edwards and Andrew McLeod didn't speak for an entire season because their wives had a blue or something and their wives didn't talk? They played a whole season or...
Was that a premiership
Several
year?
Might have been several seasons that, together.
Well, they would have played in a premiership
they
together.
They never spoke to each other.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So surely when you get out there, you don't care about that pooperama, do you?
I don't know.
And then now the Swans have been tainted with something as well. One of their blokes got dropped because apparently a lot of the boys were off him because of some behaviour or whatever. I don't know what the real story is, but I'm just wondering about that salacious nature of all that stuff. Is that or is that where we're going nowadays maybe?
Oh, look, it's a different world now.
Because, mate, the Swans aren't struggling. And
no,
so
they're going
all you've used the premise that Brisbane have got problems. You can say this. Swans haven't got a problem.
But aren't we talking about one player at the Swans? Isn't this about a number of players at Brisbane?
Yeah, but what I'm saying, you justified the Brisbane story by saying it's because there was a vacuum and didn't know why they're struggling. Mm-hmm. What's the justification for the Sydney story?
Well, they're going okay, so yeah, it hasn't affected them.
Yeah, so what? Why would they? Would you support that story coming out? Or?
Oh, yeah, I'm okay with that. That's where, mate,
on what basis?
Well, it's an interesting story.
All right, so
that's our job. We're paid to write stories that are interesting to the public.
Yeah, but you didn't say that again in Brisbane. You said it was because people wanted to work out what was going wrong and they were blaming what had happened in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I don't think that's all you can blame.
I could understand that. If it's affecting performance, no worries. If it's not, which it isn't at Sydney, do you need to talk about it?
Yeah, I think you do.
You do, do you?
I do.
Mate, I hope you don't ever get in trouble, mate.
Oh, I don't get in trouble,
seriously,
mate. I'm an angel.
What would you do if they came for you?
Oh, they've come for me many times.
Because everybody's got skeletons.
Yeah, not me, mate.
No. You haven't?
I've got enough skeletons in my
closet. You're the only person I know without a skeleton.
To suit out the entire science labs at every university around the world, mate. That's how many skeletons are in my closet.
Well, mate, I would go out of my...
Open my cupboard, it's just rattles.
Can I just say I would go out of my way to protect you? I would shield you, my friend.
I know you
Whatever I could do to make sure it didn't get public, I would do it.
I believe you. I believe you. Let's move back onto the footy. Collingwood, Dacos back to half-back. Do you like that?
I did like that. You know why they won? It's because of their tackling, mate.
Yeah, it was great.
Did you see how many tackles they had?
First quarter pressure was the highest so far this year in the AFL. So that's their little trademark, isn't it?
85 tackles. So they've decided they're going to tackle their way out of it. We did that at West Coast a couple of times.
Mick, did you?
Mick decided that everyone had to have, I can't remember when he was.
Bring your mouth
two
guards.
Two a quarter. You had to have two a quarter.
Oh, did he say bring your mouth guards next week to training?
Yeah, he did. You trained it as well. But your main thing was you had to have two tackles a quarter. So late in the game, I tell you what, late in the quarter, there was a lot of tackling going on because you thought, oh, shit, Mick's going to ask me if I did my tackles. And so you go and tackle blokes left, right, and centre.
Were there any injuries?
Bloody work, too. I'll tell you what. Did your it? Tackle blokes didn't even have the ball sometimes. Dacos, 3 votes. Zorko was great.
Yeah.
And Tommy Mitchell's lifted him a bit, too. So the Pies back, you reckon?
I don't think they ever really went away, but I don't think they can win the flag. I've thought that since. That was my thought pre-season.
Hang
so
on. They never really went away, but they can't win the flag.
In terms of being a finals side, no. They'll be playing finals.
So they've gone away.
They've gone away as a premiership side, yes. They were never there this year.
Have you heard
of
back-to-back? That's what their plan was.
Okay. Well,
they got your blokes this week.
Yeah.
Hawthorn.
Well, they're every chance there. Hawthorn, well, let's talk about that game, the Easter Monday game that was interrupted by lightning. If you take away the first quarter, it was a pretty even game, but you can't take away the first quarter, and it was ugly, and it was looking like an 80, 90-point win to Geelong at that point. But I'll tell you what they do against Hawthorn, mate, is they kick straight.
Mm.
They don't miss too many opportunities. So, and look,
and
we
you
should
were bagging,
mention...
And you were bagging Warple last week, and he was best on ground.
Right, he was. He was very okay. Impressive.
How good was he in the losing side?
He was very good.
Mitch Duncan was good.
What about the big fella? Let's talk about the full forward, Tommy Hawkins, 350 games. Where does he rate, mate? Where does he rate in the pantheon of forwards sort of modern era?
Mate, he's right up there. I would say that in my era, like when I played against Lock, I didn't play against these blokes, other blokes did, but Lockett and Dunstall and all that, all the blokes who kicked 1,000, he would have kicked 1,000 goals in my era. It's just the change of defensive...
Harder to kick goals now.
Yeah, mechanisms and, you know, the
well,
ganging
they're
up.
Well, they flood defences now, so you can't...
Yeah, and the general fitness of blokes. Yeah, like, he would have been one, he would have been right up there with the greats, with Dunstall. And
I
Lockett.
Think he is right up with the greats.
Yeah, but when you look at his record, he's not, you know what I mean, in terms of
in
goals
scored. In terms of goals kicked. But I think in terms of what he's done, what he's played in, how many flags? 4? I think with... You know, the incredible thing about Hawkins is 5, 6, 7 years ago, he had those back injuries and we thought, oh, he's done. But he's still there. What is he, 30? Is he 35?
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Taylor Bruin was amazing.
He was very good.
I think he had 15 touches in the first quarter. And Ollie Henry, looks like he can play. Then they've got some young blokes coming through. Now, what did you think about... Give us your Jack Ginnivan, mate, and take your Hawthorn hat off for a second and try to be impartial and objective. Is he getting hammered? Is he getting caught high and they're just letting it go because it's him?
Yeah. So there's two parts to this. The first part is when they're 50-50, he's never going to get them. And it's his own fault because he created this. He created this while he was at Collingwood. So the 50-50s, he doesn't get.
So you'll cop that?
Yeah. But the blatant ones, there were 3 or 4 of them yesterday. You've got, it's rare. If it's high, it's high, mate. It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
And I hope Hawthorn does go to the AFL and says, hey, come on, guys. And Jack doesn't help himself, but he's a colourful character. He brings a bit, and you know what? There was criticism of him doing his little goal celebration. Well, you know, in a losing side and what have you, but, well, you know. What, we want to deprive fans of any colour of the game, do
no,
we?
No, that's why they go to the game, to watch blokes like that. But so you think
by the way, he has been a very good recruit for Hawthorn, along with DeSambrio. Geez, he's a good player. But I tell you, Ginnivan, he gave the team 4 quarters yesterday, and they were difficult conditions, and he had his head ripped off a half a dozen times. So, he's been a good recruit.
You think they should complain, draw attention to it,
yep.
They've kind of been doing that, but it's still, because he throws his head back and he does the shooey, you know, shrug, that doesn't go down well with the umpires.
Can I have another whinge about the umpires? So I know this deliberate out of bounds rule. Mm. Can the umpires, is there any chance they can just get into the flow of the game and understand the conditions? When a bloke kicks in the wet and it's 40 metres from the boundary line and somehow finds its way over the boundary line. How is it deliberate? And I'm not just saying Hawthorn out of bounds. I'm saying Geelong as well. It's just either, you know what they need to do? Just go to the rule. Make it, if it's out of bounds, last touch, other side gets the kick. Just do it because it's way too grey.
Change the rules.
Some of them they pay, some of them they don't. Change the rules.
Is that in the Sandful or somewhere they play that?
Yeah. Inside 50.
Yeah,
they
right.
do it.
In inside 50, do they? Wow.
So maybe you could go to inside 50, but even then, like some of them were on the wing and it's, you know, how did you pay that? It's like they're pulling them out of their arse, Barra.
No, I'm with you. All right, Guru, tell me one thing. Mm-hmm. Who is out of it in terms of the premiership now? Obviously, West Coast. Hawthorn out of it?
Oh, God, please.
Okay. North Melbourne?
Yeah, out. Adelaide out.
Adelaide out.
Brisbane out.
You got Brisbane out?
Yep.
Yep. Holy crap. Richmond definitely out then.
Yep.
Collingwood?
Yep.
You got Collingwood out as well?
Yep.
Holy shit. What about St Kilda?
Well, we're going reverse ladder here, but no.
Still in, still alive, St Kilda. So from there up.
You're thinking premiership or finals? I'm talking premiership.
Talking, it's. I reckon it's still wide open.
Yeah, I reckon Gold Coast play finals.
But not flag?
No.
So flag out for them.
And Essendon dubious still, not convinced about finals.
So you've got Geelong staying in there?
We've got to say they can win the flag.
Okay.
Now, okay, I didn't have them playing finals, so that's a big mistake on my part. They're looking pretty good.
That's a big admission from you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
And
I'm very honest.
Port Adelaide. You got Port Adelaide?
Can win the flag.
Bulldogs?
No, can't win it.
You've wiped the Bulldogs, even though they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And the rest of them can win the flag, and that includes Fremantle.
All right, so you got
who I didn't have playing finals either.
Fremantle second. So you got the Giants, Fremantle, Melbourne, Sydney, Carlton, Port Adelaide, Geelong, and St Kilda.
Right. Yeah, but that's a real outsider. I think my favourites now.
4, 5, 6.
Right,
seven,
now,
eight.
You got if eight. I had to bet my house on it, I'm saying it's an all Sydney grand final. After round three and an opening round, I'd say it's an all Sydney grand final and GWS wins it. But
weren't you just mentioning Fremantle?
Yeah,
didn't you just say Fremantle?
Obviously, I picked Melbourne preseason. Melbourne's right up at
right. And didn't
up
you
there.
Pick Melbourne to win the flag?
Yeah, I just said they're right up there. But I mean, GWS and Sydney are showing.
You can't
a bit,
change on after round three anyway, can you?
I'm saying these are the teams that can win a flag.
Hang on, you can't say that there's going to be an all-Sydney grand final when you've tipped Melbourne and they're third.
I'm saying right now it looks that way.
Why? Because Melbourne's third, mate.
I know, mate. I'm just saying.
Melbourne's ahead of Sydney. Melbourne's ahead of Sydney.
I know, mate. I know.
How can you jump off?
I know. No, mate, Melbourne have done everything. I'm, you know, it's fine.
But you've just said that.
You've asked me who can win the flag. I've said GWS, Fremantle, Melbourne, Sydney, Carlton, Geelong, Port, and St Kilda. I reckon the rest you put a line through.
And so you're walking back the giant Sydney grand final thing.
Not walking back.
You're not going to walk.
Oh, a bit. A bit.
Very good. Very good. It's hard tipping.
Oh, mate, I've had the worst start to a year, but
I
have
one
faith.
Behind me.
I have faith, mate. I have faith.
And the rest of us.
Barrett, now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel mailbag.
Thank you to Thirsty Camel, our long-term supporter and sponsor. Special this week at Thirsty Camel, Gage Road single fin, only $59.99 a carton. This week we have a $50 gift voucher to give away thanks to Thirsty Camel. We'll be giving that away on Thursday. Please get your questions in to Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au. A couple from last week, Barra. Please keep them a bit shorter. Hey, fellas, been a long fan of the podcast. It keeps me entertained driving around the Gold Coast. Being a Mad Dockers fan, I've got a bit of a bone to pick with Stephen Silvani. The list manager at Carlton, when they bid at pick 9 in that draft for Liam Henry, straight after we picked Young and Sarong in 2019. Going into draft deficit, this pushed us back 3 spots in the following year's draft. As a side note, we still managed to trade back in late 2019 to get Michael Frederick at 61, which was an astute call. All going okay so far. Still picked up Chapman in 2020 with a later pick. Missed out on Pedler, Brune and Tom Powell in the picks we slid back from. Not a bad result. The conspiracy theorist in me always wondered if the club lowballing Blake Akers had something to do with an agitated Henry waiting in the wings, and Frio felt they needed to keep him happy. Then, after a breakout year by Henry, our old nemesis Silvani bobs up again at St Kilda, offering Henry the world and Frio peanuts. We lost him, in effect, for a future second-round pick. I'm so annoyed I can't even do the math to work out how far behind in draft points this Henry debacle has got us. I saw Silvani up in Noosa a couple of years ago, and he seemed very pleasant and looking like a silver-haired Adonis. So I like him even less now. It goes on. That was Ben from the Gold Coast, from Currumbin Valley.
I tell you what, he's blowing up, but what about the fact that they've got Collingwood's first pick too? So if you're right, and Collingwood, are you saying Collingwood doesn't play?
Collingwood plays finals.
They do play finals. Yeah. So, but it's not like.
But it could be bottom end finals. So
their pick next year is actually a lot better than they thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So Fremantle's got it.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
I'll read this one out. I'll try and pricey it a bit. It's very long. But refer to the table below where I've highlighted the player. So this is an email from Alistair from Mount Lawley. And what he's done, he's gone through the Eagles list. And he's saying of the current list, 26 are likely to have any chance of being there in 5 years' time. Only four are first-round choices, with Reed and Jinby being the only top 10. Of the 26, seven are rookies of various types. Of the 26, there will be several who won't make the grade. The Tassie Devils joined the comp in 2028. Clear drafts without Tassie taking priority, et cetera, et cetera. Now, he goes through the list, and this is who he's got the yellow line through, and this is who he thinks will still be around in 5 years' time. Harry Edwards, Jai Cully, Rhett Bazo, Jack Williams, Tyrell Dewar, Jordan Baker, Elijah Hewitt, Kobe Bergil, Clay, Livingston, Cohen, Rawlinson, Lott, Reed, Johnson. Is that what he's done here? Yeah, I think so. Well, he's got...
He reckons they'll still all be around, those blokes.
Yeah, I think he's... Yes. I think he's saying... So he's got
Jeez, he's generous there.
Yeah. Unfortunately for the Eagles, it may be a 10-year rebuild. This is what you suggested earlier.
Five years, I said.
That is why I said to consider. So this is his point. Consider trading Oscar Allen and Jake Waterman just to speed up the process, especially as they are unlikely to be there then. Players like Harley Reid are unlikely to be there in 10 years. It's going to be interesting. So that's the point of this. He's suggesting that Harley will lose faith because they'll keep losing, and he's suggesting that's what they should do. Trade out Oscar. They're not trading Oscar Allen. He's the co-captain of the club.
But they've got nothing else.
Mm. So did they make the mistake by not splitting Reed and getting two for one?
I don't know, but just now it feels like if it keeps going like this, Reed, he's got a big question mark whether he hangs around, whether he re-signs. Who's his manager? Is it Paul?
Connors, I think.
Hey?
I'm not sure. I'm guessing.
If it's Paul Connors, he's got a lot of power. Because if he comes to the club and says, mate, the way it's going, we're leaving, the pressure goes right on, you know?
So West Coast have got Sydney at 10:30 a.m. Western Standard Time on Saturday at Mount Barker Barra, which leads me to the next mail from Michelle. Hi, Quarters and Barra, could you please describe the Mount Barker AFL fan experience? So I drove past Mount Barker when I drove
in
across
Adelaide.
Nullarbor, and you go up over the Adelaide Hills on your way towards Victoria, and you go past Mount Barker. It's 35 minutes from Adelaide. It's a bucolic little place. It's
bucolic.
A country. It's like a country area.
Illness?
You've seen the
plague?
You've seen the bubonic. That's bubonic.
Oh, bubonic.
I reckon I saw last year one of the games there during Gather Round where I saw a bloke hosing his lawn up in the background. So that's the sort of place it is. But look, it's a very significant Aboriginal area, Barra. The Peramank people hail from there. It's cropping and grazing country. And for any Eagles fans who are venturing there for Gather Round, you can go to the Keith Stevenson Park and do a bit of walking, where you'll get to Mount Barker Summit, which has sweeping panoramic views, Barra, over the surrounding areas.
Of the and if bloke you feel like a garden.
Bit of a tipple, yeah, you can watch
your
bloke.
Is there wineries and stuff?
There are wineries,
yeah,
but
okay.
They're mainly in the Barossa.
Further around.
And in other areas. But there's the Prancing Pony Brewery in Mount Barker.
Can I just ask, why are we in Mount Barker?
Because it's Gather Round and they're trying to share it round.
But it sounds like there's absolutely a drover's dog and an old bloke
lovely
there.
Lovely area. It's only 35 minutes from the CBD.
Oh, is it? 35 minutes. Yeah. Oh, well.
There's also the Adelaide Hills Farmers Market, so you might be able to pick up a few bargains there, but you won't be taking any fruit home because of fruit fly.
Hey, I've just got the coaches' votes come through for the weekend.
Let's read them out.
I'll just give you Freo versus the Crows, right? Who did you think was best on ground, by the way? Freo versus the Crows.
Well, Hayden Young, from Pierce, I reckon.
Young got 9 votes, so one coach gave him 5, one gave him 4. Pierce got 7. Mm-hmm. Jordan Clark, 5, your man. Michael Walters, wasn't he good?
Oh, yeah.
Mate, he could have kicked 6.
If he kicked straight, he's kicked 6.
Imagine if he kicked 6.
But he was really good. He did a lot of goal assists too.
Luke Ryan, 3. Caleb Sarong, 1. Mark Keane, 1 vote.
Yeah, he played a pretty good job. Did a good job.
At West Coast, Treloar gets best on ground from both coaches.
Yep.
Bailey Williams.
Yep.
Not the Eagle. Aaron Norton, 4.
Did you see his score involvements? Only kicked a goal, I think.
Massive, was it?
About 12, 13.
Jeez. Mm.
Very
unselfish
game. Lockie
Bramble, you mentioned him.
Former Hawk.
Yeah, 3 votes. Jeremy McGovern, 2 votes. Tim English, 2 votes. Latham Vandermeer, 2 votes as well, yeah. Do you want to know your Hawkies?
Yep.
They gave Warple best on ground.
Okay.
Coaches gave 5 and a 4.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oliver Henry, 6. Mitch Duncan, 5. Max Holmes, 4. Tanner Bruin, 3. Tyson Stengel, 3. So one coach gave Warple 5. Wonder who else got a 5.
Tell you what, Mitch Duncan's a good player, isn't he? Another good Trinity
West
College
Aussie.
Boy.
Yeah.
They go for a lot of Mitches, Geelong. High quarters and Barrow, do you think the Friday doubleheader fixtures in round 3, 4, and 9 will capture the interest of the broader AFL audience? Well, round 3, who do we have? North Carlton, Freo, Adelaide. Round 4, Brisbane North at the Gabba, Port Essendon.
Now, Brisbane North, it's Gabba round.
Brisbane North and Port Essendon at Adelaide Oval. And then round 9, we've got Geelong v Port, and we've got Freo v Sydney, and they're overlapping. That's a 5:10 and a 6:20. Oh, you can't really win with the fixtures, can you, Barra? They're okay games. I mean, gather round. Do you like gather round, by the way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely love it. I wish it was here too. It should be in WA. We got the better stadium, and then where could we go? Could we get one at the Wacker? Could we go out to Joondalup? Where else would we go?
There's no reason you can't play the lot at Optus.
Go the Northern.
Play the lot at Optus.
No, but didn't you just say you have to go around the state and all that sort of
thing? Yeah, maybe.
Mm. Go to Mount Barker.
Go down south to Norwood. Bunbury.
Come to Lathlane. We can only hold like 6,000 people though. Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got the Taj Mahal next door.
Where else would you go? Mandra?
You could. You could get,
think about it. Where would you go? Oh, Bunbury. You'd go to Bunbury. Is it Hands Oval?
It is.
Have a look down there.
Hands Memorial Park.
Geraldton or Northampton, maybe?
Possibly
Broome.
No, you're not going that far, mate. Not for gather round. It's got to be within the vicinity.
Oh, got to be close,
so,
is it?
Closer, yeah.
Okay. So you wouldn't go to Kalgoorlie then?
You could get away with Bunbury. It's a couple of hours.
So Bunbury, Joondalup, Optus.
You need to play it. No, I think you'd probably go Wacker. I think you go Optus, Wacker, maybe Bunbury.
And chuck in Bunbury for his tokenism.
You can still, while you're here, the fans, while they're here, can still get the experience. They can go up to the Swan Valley. Mm. They can go and look at the Great Southwest. There's lots to do.
Kick on
the
Margaret River.
Beautiful beaches.
That sort of thing.
Mm.
Yeah, mate. You know the F1 in Las Vegas? You know how much money it brought into Las Vegas?
How much?
$1.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
A billion and a half.
They need the money, Vegas, too,
$1,500.
No one spends any money in Vegas.
$1 million.
Wow.
Mate, the government's
how much money did they make from the NRL? Not that.
Yeah. Well, they had the Super Bowl there as well.
Yeah, they did.
So the Super Bowl.
Gee, it's been a big 6 months. Geez.
They changed everything. They transformed the joint. And so you get all that, you know, those legacy pieces, as they call it. You know, you get better roads and all that sort of stuff. But locals would have been put out for a few weeks, I reckon. You can't drive here, can't go here, can't.
There's only
do
one
this.
Road in and one road out, isn't there, in Vegas? I've not been to Vegas.
Haven't you?
Yeah, I'm not a Vegas
type.
That's
why there's
type.
No skeletons on you, mate.
Am I a Vegas type?
I reckon if you were, you'd be like
Vegas.
That guy in The Hangover. You know,
I'm
the guy
more Yosemite.
Again? Wouldn't he? Hey, wouldn't he, Josh? No, you'd be like the guy, the dentist, who goes to Las Vegas.
Gets
and he ends
tattoo?
Up with a tattoo, Mike Tyson tattoo. You'd come out with a tiger and a Mike Tyson tattoo for sure.
I may.
And you'd be have lost your mate, and your missus would give you the flick.
I have got into a bit of trouble.
You'd lose 3 days.
It's quite possible.
You know, when Daniel Kerr was there, he lost 3 days. He came back to his hotel. He went to his Embers's room. Embers, there was other people in it. Right.
This is like an old Ashes broadcast with all the sound effects.
So he rings up Embers and goes, Embers, where are you? What are you talking about? We're in Los Angeles. They'd already left. The Eagles had left when Kerr wandered back into the hotel. Oh, my God.
I lost 3 days once in Glastonbury at the music festival in England. That was a fantastic
Is that a chemical?
No, I don't do that stuff, Barra.
Well, how did you lose 3 days?
I was just very tired, wandering around listening to a lot of music.
What was the best act at Glastonbury?
Radiohead.
I think our listeners would love this.
Radiohead. Yeah, I'll tell you what did happen to me, though. I was at there was 100,000 there, right?
What year was that?
That's 2000 and I'm going to say 3, just right. Okay. Radiohead, The Darkness were playing. Dave Gray was fantastic. And I remember going up to this place called Left Field, which is where all the hippies are.
Yeah.
And there are all these tents in a row up there. And I thought, I'll have a look in these tents. And I walked in the first one. There's a boxing match on with the people with those giant boxing gloves.
Yeah.
And that was
yeah.
interesting. I walked out of there into the next tent. There was just can-can dancing, you know, the line dancing. And then I walked into the next tent and there's this really old dudes playing. And it was... they were a famous band from the 70s. Feel Like Making Love was their hit.
I think.
So I'm just going from tent to tent. This is pretty incredible. What more have you got to offer? But it's a fantastic experience.
So 03, did you say Radiohead was the best?
Yeah.
All right, so that lineup in 03 was Love with Arthur Lee.
No, maybe I've missed it. Maybe it was 2002.
Damien Rice?
No.
Flaming Lips.
I reckon it's 2000.
Moby. I could see you getting
into Moby. Moby was there, yeah.
Are you more of an REM man?
They were there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I just said
but
it.
But I was going to say before REM were on, it was REM who were on, and I went up to the very front of the mosh pit, and you're talking, I don't know how many are in the mosh pit, say 80,000. Had a panic attack.
Who did?
I did. Because just too, I couldn't move. And I'll tell you what, about takes you about 30
and
minutes.
And I was only drinking beer.
I was. And it takes you 30 minutes to get out of that mosh pit. And I said to Lisa, my wife, I said to her, I've got to get out of here. This is just freaking me out. And as soon as I got to the back of it, I felt better. Instantly, I got out of that mosh pit.
Oh, yeah. You had one of those jabs or took one of those pills that
the doc gave you.
Hey, listen. Was McCartney there?
No.
Because that was 04.
Yeah, I reckon it was probably...
02 had Coldplay.
Nah.
And Rod Stewart.
It was 03 then.
Oh, so you were 03.
Yeah.
You got a shit one compared to the rest.
Not really. There was not a lot of rain.
Not really.
So it wasn't
04
muddy.
Had McCartney, Muse, Oasis, right. James Brown.
Oh, yeah. It would have been good.
And 02 had Coldplay, Stereophonics, and Rod Stewart.
Who was the chick? Was it... Who was the Grace Brown that she sang that song, you know...
Mate, you picked the wrong year. That's all
was
I know.
Her? Anyway, she flashed a bloody brown eye at the crowd. That was a bit of a highlight. I'm not sure if it was a highlight, but
3 days lost in Glastonbury.
Yeah.
How do you remember?
Dave Gray was fantastic. He was fantastic.
Dave,
anyway,
Dave Gray, ugly Dave Gray.
We're getting wound up now. We're talking about nonsense.
Righto.
You have been listening to Quarters and Barra. We have been brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. We will be back on Thursday to take you through our tips for Gather Round. I'm off to have a nice lie down and to think of days gone by at festivals.